Welcome to Beyond the Reiki Gateway, a podcast reserved for the spiritually curious. Journey further with Reiki Masters Kathleen Johnson and Andrea Kennedy through in-depth conversations, many featuring inspiring and intriguing special guests to enrich your unique spiritual progression. We're really glad you've joined us again, Beyond the Reiki Gateway. I'm Andrea Kennedy, here with my co-host, Kathleen Johnson. And today we're going to be delving into some questions that have come in to Kathleen and myself here at the podcast. As you know, we're both Reiki masters and have taught many students over the years. And we receive questions from people either interested in Reiki, perhaps they've learned Reiki, maybe there are even teachers as well. But we thought we'd take the opportunity to answer some questions, thinking that it might be helpful to our audience out there. So, Kathleen, here we are in the studio, ready to go with these questions.
Hey, Andrea. Yeah, it's going to be a good episode. I think it's fun to discuss Reiki with you, and I know our listeners agree. So, yeah, I'm excited to get into this.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. Let's start off, Kathleen, with something I hear an awful lot, and that is people are wanting to know about intention and Reiki. I know both of us have said this on the podcast, that intention is very important. And I think the question arises because we also say that Reiki knows what to do and that Reiki is always going to help for the highest good. And so how do these two things fit together? If intention is everything, but Reiki knows how to help, how do they go together? It doesn't kind of make sense on the surface, maybe? And so I guess that's the question coming at us. What would you say about that?
That is an interesting question. And it's one I've thought about before the question even came in, honestly. But I see it as, well, first of all, intention, you know, the saying, energy follows intention is a very old saying. It's one I've said many, many times. And it's true. When you set your intention, you're just sending a message to the universe that you want to accomplish something. I agree that Reiki is an intelligent energy. I don't think there's any question about that. It comes directly from spirit. So for me, intention is more for the practitioner. I think of it that way. It helps provide a focal point. When I'm working with a client, when I'm channeling Reiki, I know that Reiki is doing exactly what is needed for the individual with whom I'm working. I have absolute trust in that. However, my intention is always for their deep healing and blessing. I think that just adds to it because Reiki is doing exactly what it needs to do. I am focused on this individual's deep healing and blessing, and it is just an added layer of energy and healing that comes in. Plus, when I set my intention, it gives me a focal point. And that's really important when I'm channeling Reiki, because I don't know about you, Andrea, but when I'm working with someone, I tend to go into what I call a zone. It's easy for me to slip into almost a meditative state and go off. So when I keep focus, when I focus on my intention, it helps to keep me grounded. And that is a good thing, as I want to be grounded during the Reiki session. I don't know if any of this makes sense, but that's my take on it. And we could probably expand upon that a little bit more. But I'd like to, first of all, hear what your take is.
Well, I'm going to answer that, Kathleen, a little bit differently, because I hear this question often from people who watch my YouTube channel. And they're asking because I make all the different videos with different intentions. But then the question becomes, well, why do you do that? If Reiki knows what it's doing and you're not directing it, that makes no sense. And I'll give you an example. Recently, I published a video that was Reiki for depression. And so I'll use that one as an example. Every time we see a client or a viewer tunes into a video on YouTube, they have an intention. You know, someone doesn't book a Reiki session with you, Kathleen, for no reason. Or they probably don't book a Reiki session with you for their highest good, right? It is that their back hurts or they have migraines right. or they have depression, you know, something like that. So the client themselves has an intention. And that's the reason they seek out a Reiki practitioner and a Reiki session. And so on the channel, I am attempting to meet the viewer where they are, just as we in person would meet our client where they are with their intention. And so someone's going to look for a video that might address what they're going through. And so that, in a nutshell, is I guess one reason why I do it that way. But let me widen the scope here and also say that while I am filming this video, I am holding that intention that yes, indeed, they are helped for whatever it is that they're going through and what they want help for. However, I also defer to the Reiki. So my intention is something like, please help them feel better. Please help them have relief from whatever it is that they are suffering with. But Reiki is the decider. I'm not ever going to get in the way of Reiki. It's going to help them for whatever is in their highest good, regardless of our intention. And I also want to point this out too. We might have clients that want help for a certain condition. And perhaps we don't recognize or even think about that they actually might need to heal other issues before that focused on issue can be addressed by the energy. And this is another exactly. reason why we always want to defer and just trust the Reiki, because while we might want 100% for this one thing to go away and be healed, there might be a lot of things in the way of that. And so we need to move those other things to the side first before getting to the heart of the matter and what is important to that person.
Absolutely agree. And when you were talking, I'm thinking about what I say to a client when we first have our conversation before the Reiki session. And, you know, as you said, people always have a reason for scheduling a Reiki session. And when it's a specific issue like depression or a bad shoulder or a knee or whatever it is, whatever it may be, they tend to focus on that during the conversation. And what you said is so, so spot on. Whatever they're complaining about at the moment may be the end result of healing that has yet to occur. So it could be just all these things that have been building up and have finally made their way into their energy field, all the way into the physical, and now it's manifesting in a physical way. But all the layers that have yet to heal are still there. So I try to break that down for people so they can understand it without sounding too woo-woo, because, you know, if someone is new to a Reiki session, they don't know anything about it, I don't want to go off into the weeds with that. What I will often say is, you know, I understand that you're having depression or anxiety or whatever, but I want you to know that Reiki is going to give you exactly what you need today, whatever that may be. And I said, I don't know what that is. And you know what? You don't know what that is either, because Reiki comes directly from spirit. It knows far better than any one of us here on earth what we need for our highest good. So please keep that in mind. And I'm very careful to emphasize that, because I just think it's important. There may be other factors in play here. In fact, there almost always are.
Absolutely. 100%, Kathleen. And, you know, a couple things came to my mind while you were talking. And the first one is, you're so right. Some people are brand new to Reiki. They don't understand what Reiki is and the nature of Reiki. And to require an understanding of Reiki and how it knows how to help you before they can even have a session or watch a Reiki video on YouTube, I mean, that's too much to ask. And so again, I can speak for myself when I'm offering the videos. Again, it is about meeting them where they are, not only in their intention, but in their understanding of Reiki and how Reiki works, which they may be Reiki masters and totally get it, or they might be brand new and it could be their very first Reiki experience. And so just offering Reiki to the entire spectrum of people with a variety of understandings, again, meeting them where they are. The other thing too is I had this visual in my mind when you were talking about certain things having to move first before you can get at that issue. It reminded me of, you know, like a storage closet. I think we've all done this, right? Where we know that we put something in the back of that storage closet and we know it's there, but there's 10 boxes in front of it and a bicycle and an old, you know, boat motor or something. You know, you just got to move all that stuff out first before you can get to that thing you really wanted in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's exactly right. Especially people who are new to Reiki or energy healing, they don't think in those terms. I know I didn't when I was starting out. I had no idea about all these things. I mean, like you said, meeting them where they are, that's so important. Maybe they know all these things and maybe they don't. That's another point I'd like to bring up. That is why, at least for me as a Reiki practitioner, having that conversation with the client is so, so, so important before I actually begin the session, because I want to hear from them. I want to really listen and tune in to what they're saying. In other words, I want to meet them where they are, right? And find out what's really important to them and where they're coming from. Having that conversation goes such a long way. In fact, over the past couple of years, I've been told by my guides that the conversation is actually part of the Reiki session. It can't be separated. It just is part of it. The fact that I do that, I know, can make a huge difference for someone who is having a session, especially those who are new to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can remember I made a couple videos for the channel about what to say before a session, what to say after a session. So it's really important. It is. And so it's really a challenge when speaking. I just keep talking about the YouTube channel, but I guess a lot of people know me from that. But that's the challenge when you make these little standalone videos, is you don't get that interaction. I wanted to also really shine a light on something. The intention is not directing the energy. You see, they're not the same thing. So we are not directing the Reiki and telling Reiki what to do. We're trusting the Reiki for it to do its own thing, but we're holding the intention that they are helped for their highest good. You know, you've already mentioned some things like that. I will hold the intention that whatever it is that they're seeking help for gets addressed, but always defer, and I let that go. So then I'm not ever hooked into the outcome. And then I think the last thing maybe that I'll say on this one, Kathleen, is maybe a way to illustrate this even more is, I always kind of talk in analogies and things, but it's just how my brain works. Let's say I am going to plant a crop and I put seeds down in my field. You know, those seeds need water, but I'm going to make water available to them. So like as a Reiki master practitioner, I'm making an opportunity and I'm watering or making Reiki available to others. And back to my field, I'm going to let water be available to them. I'm going to bring water to them. But you know what? Those seeds know what to do. I don't have to tell the seeds how to sprout. I don't have to tell this plants how to grow or how to produce fruit or whatever it is. They have that innate wisdom, just like people do. We all have an innate wisdom within us. And when that innate wisdom within our clients meets with the energy or the water, so to speak, wonderful things happen, and it doesn't need our direction. It only needs our support and our intention to nourish and provide an opportunity for them to get together.
That's a great analogy. It really is. And yeah, you're right. We're not directing the energy. I would never impose upon Reiki that way and say, oh, I know what to do. Even when you're working with a client, let's say I have my hands over the solar plexus area. If Reiki determines that perhaps their knee needs more work, it's going there as well, but I'm still channeling it through my hands. Reiki can function. It can do more than one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And I think that's also important to note. It's not like, oh, well, Kathleen's standing here with her hands over the solar plexus. I guess I got to be here. No, it doesn't work like that. Remember, it's guided by spirit. It can multitask
yes.
like crazy. What I've also noted in doing Reiki for a number of years now is that even though a client may come with a specific issue, you know, and that's their intention when they come in, and I'm not to say I have no idea if it's going to resolve after the Reiki session, but almost always the client will receive some sort of insight or understanding about the issue that helps them to move it along, to help to heal it. Now, of course, it's then up to the client to do something about it, right? But Reiki will provide the tools to help you heal. But at the end of the day, each of us has to do the heavy lifting. We have to do our own work. I always find that fascinating because even though that shoulder may not be completely cured, and you know there's a big difference between curing and healing, but they've received insight about how they can work to heal that. And I find that inordinately valuable.
Absolutely. And I love the fact that you brought up the insights gained by the clients. You're so right about that. And also students. I just taught a Reiki class over the weekend. I couldn't believe all of the aha moments that the students were talking about as a result of the experiences and, you know, the attunements. We call them placements now, but when we would share about it, it was just remarkable. And they're so excited because it's shedding a light so they can understand themselves better. Reiki just has so many blessings for us on so many levels. You just can't put it in a box, that's for sure. I think we've said that before. You can't put Reiki in a box.
I think so. That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I think so. Kathleen, I know we had some other questions come in. And what's next on the list?
Let's see. I had a question come in recently. The person who sent the question wanted to know if we think of Reiki as an entity, and is it something that can be compared to a deity or a being?
Wow.
And if so, do we pray to it? Now, that was a question, honestly, I'd never received before. I don't know about you, Andrea. Have you ever heard that?
No, I haven't. Did they go into any more detail about why they might have had that impression?
No, not really. They just mentioned intention, how it works, and we set the intention. So it really kind of flows right into what we just talked about with intention. But her question was, is it an entity? And if so, do we pray to Reiki? And I just found that such an interesting, intriguing kind of question.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll go first. No, Reiki is not an entity. Reiki is not an entity. We don't worship Reiki. We don't idolize Reiki. Reiki is spiritually guided life force energy. It is an energy. Some might say, well, entities are energy. Everything's energy. Well, yes, of course. But I also call Reiki creationary energy. And what that means to me is that it's the energy inherent in all of creation. That is not an entity. Reiki is a companion to us. We work with it. We work alongside it. It's helpful, healing, nurturing, guiding, empowering. It's so many things, but it is an energy. There's not a dogma or a set of beliefs that go along with Reiki. There's no identity. You couldn't make a statue that says this is the personification of Reiki, where, you know, if it's an entity, we do those things. We can make a statue of it or a piece of artwork personifying an entity. And we often will associate human qualities to entities. And Reiki just does not have any of that. What's your take on that, Kathleen?
Well, first of all, I'm 100% in agreement with what you said. It is not an entity. I think of it as you said, a companion. I have written an article about that. I've spoken on that. Reiki is a life companion. That's how I see it. It's also a tool that's given to us by spirit, a healing tool. It's a gift. It's a blessing. As you said, it's many, many things. However, it is not an entity. It is spiritually guided life energy. No, we do not worship Reiki. I do not pray to Reiki, but I utilize Reiki every day in my life. And of course, with clients, I utilize it. I don't put those kinds of labels on it either. It's not like, oh, I have to put this into, there's your box again, Andrea.
There you
it
go.
It doesn't fit into a box. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example of it, right? It doesn't fit into a box. It's not an entity. It is very mysterious, and there's so much about it we don't know. And honestly, that's fine with me. I don't need to have answers to every single thing, especially when it comes to Reiki. I think it's part of its charm for me is that it eludes explanation.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts about that.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking, what I thought about was, I'll admit it, Star Wars. You know, the Force, right?
Here we
From
go.
Star Wars.
The Force be with you. Yes.
The Force isn't an entity in Star Wars. It's kind of similar. Now, we can have gratitude for Reiki, things like that, but that doesn't mean it's an entity either. So we can have gratitude for all kinds of things in our lives and have other spiritual tools like crystals. We talked to Angie recently on the show, Angie Yinkst, about crystals. And you use the word allies, which you would probably also use that word with Reiki. Reiki is an ally to you in your life.
Yes.
And that's not an entity. It's a tool. We use that word in that podcast as well. Crystals are tools and allies and things like that. And that is what Reiki is. So it goes alongside and with everything we could do in our life. But I don't know. I kind of like the Star Wars reference. And yes, may the Force be with you, Kathleen.
Yes. Well, may the Force be with you too,
Andrea. Thank you. Thank you.
Always. Okay. So hopefully we have addressed that question, answered that satisfactorily for the person who sent that question in. And as always, thank you for sending your questions. We do appreciate them. A question like that one, that was one we hadn't received before. So it was kind of fun to say, okay, what do you think about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Yeah, that was a good one. How about this next one, Kathleen? Is there a right way to start and end a Reiki session? What would you say to that?
Well, first of all, the word right, a right way, makes me go, especially when it comes to Reiki. As we know, there are no rules, right? Very few. Intention is, for me, is about the only rule. I don't know that there's a right way, but I think there is a right way for each one of us, okay? I have written a couple articles about beginning a Reiki session, ending a Reiki session. What I wrote about is what has worked for me and what I have been guided to do in my Reiki practice. And of course, if anyone reading the article feels guided to utilize some or all of what I wrote, great, but it is by no means the last word on starting and ending a Reiki session. One of the things that I think is important, though, is, of course, intention. We go back to that word again, and gratitude. For me, gratitude is a huge part, not only of my Reiki practice, but my spiritual practice in general and my life. Gratitude is so important. when I start a Reiki session, before I even begin with the client, before the client even comes on the scene, so to speak, I'm preparing my space. I'm setting my intention. I'm doing things that I normally do to begin a session or to prepare for a session. And what is included in that is a huge helping of gratitude, because I think that sets the stage, if you will, for the session, because gratitude is a form of love, is it not? And you want that energy of love to be permeating the space in which you're doing Reiki. I know that's a very vague answer. And as we talk about this in a little more detail, I'd be happy to share some of what I do in a Reiki session to begin it. But Andrea, I'm going to turn it over to you now and hear your thoughts about this.
Oh, great. Yeah, when you pointed out that word right, you know, you pointed out that word right. And I'm with you on that. And what popped in my mind was right is a word of my youth. As I've gotten older, I am very grateful. There's the gratitude part, but I am grateful. I've been able to walk away from the need of right and wrong and all of that kind of thing. So I totally agree. There is no right way. The right way, you know, we had that episode, Kathleen. This is what's coming up for me. I think we called it Real Reiki for Real People, earlier podcast episode. And so if you're interested in more of that kind of thing, Real Reiki for Real People, you might tune into that earlier podcast episode. But to answer this question, what I would say is, and I think this applies to all of Reiki practice, the right way to do anything Reiki related is the way that resonates and connects with you. Because if you're uncomfortable as a practitioner because you're following the rules of somebody else and it doesn't feel right to you, that's not very in resonance, is what I'm going to say. You'll have resistance. You'll have friction in your field because you're acting in a way that doesn't feel congruent to you. So it's fine to follow the example of your Reiki teacher or someone else. Maybe you read Kathleen's article and you try what she has in there. But in the end, it's up to you to discern what you're comfortable with, what feels right to you. And that is the secret of developing a relationship and a trust with the energy. And so I would always please remind you to trust your own inner wisdom about this. And just to be a little bit more practical, Kathleen, I'll share what I do a little bit more concretely, and then maybe you can do that too before we move on to the next question. So if I were to answer this in a more concrete way, I can certainly share what I do every single Reiki session, every single Reiki session that I do. And that is, of course, we talk to the client and all of that, but let's fast forward to the actual start and end of the session part itself. And so what I will do is I will place my hands into Gassho, which is the prayer position, and I'll take a couple of deep breaths. And that's just for myself to come into that present moment. And I'm really intending to leave everything else behind, whatever's going on in my life. I'm just coming into the present moment. And then I raise my hands and I put my thumbs at my third eye. In Reiki, we call that Reiji Ho. It's a Japanese Reiki technique. And with my hands at the third eye, like that, thumbs at the third eye, I give thanks, as Kathleen said. I give thanks for the opportunity to help another person with Reiki. I feel that that is an honor and a privilege, and it is not to be taken lightly. And so I take a moment of gratitude for that. And then I intend to set all of my personal energy to the side so that I can be the clearest Reiki channel for the highest good of my client. And then I bring my hands down. I activate Reiki. I activate all the symbols that I have been attuned to and invite the Reiki to flow in a most powerful way for the highest good of my client. And as I do that, I put my hands lightly on the crown of their head. They're typically laying with their crown facing me on their back, and the feet are directly opposite of me at the other end of the table. And then I begin my session at the crown. Now, after that, anything goes. I might get up right then and I might go to their feet. I might go to their heart. I allow the energy to guide me to how the session's going to unfold. And I might use other techniques like Byosen scanning or what have you. But we're talking about the start and the end. So let me fast forward. No matter what it is I do throughout the session, I always end at the feet. And I will touch the feet very lightly. And part of that is to help the client know that the session's coming to an end, help invite them back to their body. Of course, I don't really talk at all during the session, usually. Of course, there's always exceptions. All they know is I'm lightly touching their feet. They're more likely to begin to come back into their body. They might have been floating out there, and I call it the place of no words, you know, during a Reiki session. And I will scan them with my eyes, seeing if there's any other place in need of Reiki. And if I'm drawn to anywhere else, I'll offer Reiki through the eyes, which is another Japanese Reiki technique called Gyoshi Ho. And then I will wait there until I feel that the session's complete. With that being said, I walk to the side of my client. I draw the power symbol over their heart, intending that the healing session, all the energy, be sealed with universal love and light. Then I will sweep their aura 3 times, and that's it. And then I invite them to bring their awareness back to the present moment. So that was a lot longer than what I thought it was going to be, Kathleen. So sorry. I went and on like that. So those are the things I do every time and how I start and stop. And so if anybody, I don't share that to say you should do that. Totally not. I'm just sharing what I do in case people find that helpful. But please don't think that you have to do it that way. And also, I haven't always done it that way. Over years and years of practice, that is my current practice. That could change, and then I might do it differently. So again, no right or wrong.
Exactly. That's the point.
Anyway, I went on and on, but I invite you to share what you do, Kathleen.
I'm glad you did go on and on. Very detailed. And if anyone is interested in learning how to do that, you certainly gave them the tools to do so. The problem is I will probably go on and on too. So that's not a problem. But we can certainly talk about Reiki all day. We are given the opportunity. No question. Okay. So how do I start my session? Well, I now start it with a very brief meditation. And I've only been doing this, I'd say, within the past year. And it was something I was guided to do. I will just make myself comfortable, get centered, place my hands on my heart normally. And I ask spirit, Reiki, whatever, spirit, Reiki, the universe, what do I need to know right now? And my intention is for the client, what do I need to know about this? Almost always I get an answer. It may just be one word. It may just be an image. And then I'm okay. All right. I get up and I then complete the rest of the preparations. I do mine a little differently than yours. No surprise there, because everyone is different and we each have our own practices that work for us. I do my preparations prior to meeting with the client. So all of my starting stuff, if you will, that's the technical term, starting stuff, is done before the client even arrives. And I do all remote sessions now, so I'm using the term arriving in a remote way. One of the first things I do is I clear the healing space. I use a holy fire symbol to clear the space. The 4 walls, the ceiling, and the floor, clear the space with holy fire. I then put my hands in Gassho, as Andrea does, the prayer position, and I ask and intend that the session provide deep healing and blessing for the client. I also ask that my ego, my personality, my expectations and my challenges step aside, so I may be a clear and pure channel for Reiki. I then bring my hands to my forehead, you know, Reiji Ho, that position, and I invoke the assistance of highest guides, whether it's the archangels, my guides, the angelic realm, the ascended masters, and I'm very careful to emphasize that only those fully in the light are welcome. I'm very careful to do that. And I ask that any information received on the client's behalf be clear, relevant, and beneficial. So that's how I begin. And that's before the client is even present. That's how I begin. So when I actually do the session, when the client is virtually present in my healing space, I draw the holy fire symbol over the client's energy. And then I typically start at the third eye. Andrea starts at the crown. I start at the third eye. After I do a scan, sorry, I jumped ahead a little bit. I do a Beosan scan first. That's the first thing I do. Then I go to the third eye. But like Andrea, after that, all bets are off. I don't know where I'm going to go from there. I'm going to go where the energy guides me. That's how I start a session. And like Andrea, I didn't always do it that way. It is a work in progress. It's constantly evolving and changing and developing, just like each one of us are. We are not static beings. We are constantly changing. We're dynamic. And the same with Reiki. And our practice has to evolve and change along with us. And I'm fine with that. I like the idea of it changing and kind of keeping up with what's going on. Makes me feel very comfortable with it. And also, it gives me absolute trust that the energy is doing exactly what it needs to do. And I love that about it. So that's how I begin a session. Ending a session is kind of similar to how Andrea does it, except I don't end at the feet. I end at the solar plexus. I place my hands over the solar plexus and I say, "You are deeply healed and blessed by the power of Reiki." And I say that three times because it just feels right, you know, saying it three times. I will do a final scan to make sure the energy feels smooth and balanced and all that. I then intentionally disconnect the energy. This session is now ended. I now return so-and-so's higher self to wherever that person is physically. And then I offer thanks again. I offer thanks in the beginning, which I think I forgot to mention, but I do include it. After making a big deal out of gratitude, I forgot to mention it. Oh, well. But I do put that in there. So rest assured, I thank them again at the end.
Yes.
I always express gratitude to the client, to spirit, to Reiki for the opportunity to share Reiki. I mean, it is an honor and a privilege, like you said, Andrea. I don't take it for granted. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. And then it's like, okay, we're done. Then I clear the space with the holy fire symbol and I clear my energy with Kinyoku Ho, the dry bathing. And we're done. So that's how I do it. Again, it's to each his own. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
No wrong way, no right way. The right way is the way that is in resonance with who you are at that time. It's always open to change.
Yeah. And that changes. Yeah. You're so right. Yeah. It totally changes. And it's funny too, because I went on and on, as I said, and then I was listening to you and I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of do that too. Oh yeah. So it's like, you know, it's always, I was like, oh yeah, she just reminded me. Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities. And, you know, I want to just take the opportunity to say something. And that is, what about if you think about what we just talked about, we have a very mindful practice, Kathleen. What I mean by that is we're just not willy-nilly bringing our hands out and Reiki, you know, we have a process. I think it's fair to say that the way we practice shows a reverence and a respect for Reiki, for the client and all of that. And we do that through an intention, right? I guess what I'm wanting to bring up is, what about the client? What about the client's approach to a session? And I know for myself, I'd like to have your take on this after I elaborate a little bit. When I receive Reiki from someone, and I've done this for many, many, many years, when I am the client, I don't take that lightly either. And I look at it as my responsibility for my own energetic hygiene and my boundaries and, you know, taking care of myself. And so what I mean by that is, if I have a Reiki session, even with you, Kathleen, or anybody, it doesn't matter who it is, as I'm preparing to receive the Reiki, I will state an intention, something like, I am now only open and receiving the highest frequencies of Reiki energy that are in my highest good at this time. And then I allow myself to receive. And I think that it's very overlooked about what is the client's responsibility here. And I know we've talked a little bit about it. Yes, the client has to do the heavy lifting. You know, you say that often and all of that. They have to do the work. But I don't recall us talking about an intention that the client has in regards to accepting the energy.
I think the client definitely has a responsibility. I think of the client as a co-creator in this process. They're not just a hunk of flesh laying on the table getting Reiki'd. It's not that. They're co-creating this experience. When I have a client, especially for a new client, this happens all the time because this is something I am absolutely religious about doing. I will send an email to the new client and I have certain recommendations. You know, I strongly recommend you do the following prior to the Reiki session. And one of those recommendations has to do with intention. Think about your intention for the session. And then I always say in the email, Reiki will give you exactly what you need, but by setting an intention, you send a message to the universe. And I go a little bit into detail about that. And then during the conversation with the client prior to the actual session, the treatment, we go over that as well. I always emphasize that they are part of this. They're not just lying there lifeless and hoping for the best. And I liked what you said earlier about reverence for Reiki and respect. I have a respect, a deep, deep, deep respect for Reiki and an equally deep reverence. And I want that to come through in everything I do with Reiki. I discuss that with my client as well. And I just think that that's really important. But absolutely, I look at it as the practitioner, the client, and the energy. We're all in this together, mm-hmm. You know, and we're all working toward the highest good for this individual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because Reiki has this wisdom and it knows how to help us, it doesn't mean we're just rag dolls. We're involved, right. You know, in the whole process.
We are involved. Exactly.
So let's move on, Kathleen. What's our next question?
I received a question, I would say a couple months ago, from a practitioner who was asking about the correct, here we go again, correct or right way to utilize the Reiki symbols. And this particular individual had been taught that you can only use them or invoke them or activate them, whatever word you choose to use, over the individual, the client's third eye. And she was concerned because she felt that it might be best to utilize them in a different way throughout the session and wanted to know what we thought of that.
Oh, wow. I think this sort of dovetails that other question. And I would say there's no right or wrong. And I'll take the opportunity to say, Reiki teachers, they can teach anything in a class, but I would welcome Reiki teachers to begin telling their students, this is the way I do it. You don't have to do it this way, but this is what works for me. Because what ends up happening is students will begin thinking in this manner that if they don't do step one, step two, step three perfectly, it won't work. And this is not true. It is not true. And so we sort of talked about this earlier, right, Kathleen? But there are no rules to this. Reiki is the energy and everything else people made up, even going all the way back to Usui,
exactly.
Right? The energy is just the energy and how we interact with it. Yes, there are traditions to it, but then other people, they've just made stuff up. And while it worked for them, that's great. But let's not teach others that they have to do it your way. I don't know. To me, that just doesn't feel like Reiki. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with everything you just said. And it goes back to what we were discussing a few moments ago about the right way to start a session or to end a session. The symbols are another example of this. And I absolutely agree with you that teachers need to provide their students with that flexibility, that this is how I do it, but I don't expect you to do it exactly this way. You do it in the way that feels right for you, in a way that is aligned with who you are. This particular individual who sent the email was concerned because she felt that the procedure she learned for working with the symbols was a little too complex for her, and she felt that she would not be able to sustain that long term. That's why she reached out. And that brings me to another potential issue that arises with these rules. As you said, rules, they're just rules created by people. If someone is faced with all these rules and ways of doing things that really have nothing to do with the energy, but are people created, it can lead people to just say, I can't do this, and abandon Reiki. And that makes me really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should feel like they have to abandon Reiki because they can't keep up with all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
There are no rules. And I think that's so, so important to remember. If you take away anything at all from this episode, please remember that there are really no rules. Set your intention and go for it and just allow the energy to guide you. That's the most important part. And I think anything else is doing a disservice to practitioner who's worried and to the energy itself. And of course, to the client, the person receiving the energy.
Yeah.
Because once the practitioner starts worrying that they're doing it wrong, what happens? The energy of fear is introduced and that constricts the energy. So yeah, I just see so many problems with that way of thinking. People do tend to complicate everything.
Yes.
Even Reiki, which is so simply beautiful and beautifully simple, as I like to say.
Yeah.
But we tend to complicate it when it's completely unnecessary.
It is. It's sad. It's frustrating, you know, because we want people to be helped with Reiki. And all of these rules, as you said, they just create barriers and dogma. I don't know if dogma is the right word, but yeah, it's do this or else. And
I think it is.
Yeah. It's like you have to do this or here's this bad thing that is going to happen,
else.
You know, or you're not going to, it's not going to work or blah, blah, blah. And yeah, that is sad. It's frustrating. The most effective teachers will inspire their students to experiment with the Reiki and to get to know the energy for themselves instead of prescribing in these rigid terms. Reiki flows. Why should our practice not flow as well?
Good point. Absolutely. That is a good point. And I think that we need to be flexible and willing to go where the energy takes us. And I understand when people are starting out that they are nervous, they want to do it right. I was there at one time. I know you were too. But if you just learn to trust the energy, you know that it's going to work regardless. And once you come to that understanding, those fears slip away because you know it's going to do exactly what needs to be done for the individual that you're working with. It makes all the difference. And the rules, I'm using air quotes, don't apply because there aren't any.
That's right. It's Reiki on.
Reiki on. That's right.
It's that simple. It's really that simple.
It truly is that simple. And I know people find that hard to believe, but it is truly that simple. Take it from a couple of Reiki masters who've been doing this for decades. Yeah, it really is that simple. And you know, it's funny, the longer I practice Reiki, the simpler my practice becomes. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't worry so much about all the bells and whistles because I have that trust now.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it easier too, right?
Yeah, it sure does. It sure does.
Okay, so I think we have one more question before we end this episode. And this is an interesting one. And it's one that I've heard a lot. And I imagine you, because you teach Reiki so frequently, you've heard this one a lot too. The question is, what can I tell people about Reiki, especially those people like family members or friends who think it might be somehow negative or of the devil or satanic, whatever you want to call it? What do I tell those people? How do I normalize Reiki for them?
It is a common question, Kathleen, and that's another thing that makes me sad, I have to say, is just how common it is. It's complicated. I guess there are many ways that I could answer it, but I think what I would say is that when you speak from your own experience of it, I don't know how people can really argue about it. And what I mean by that is if you learn Reiki and you're practicing Reiki for yourself. Of course, self-Reiki is the foundation of Reiki practice. And you might not be even in a position to offer it with other people. I know many new students want to share it with family and do sessions with them and all of that. But you know what? At the core is self-Reiki practice. And you need no approval of anyone for that. And so I would invite practitioners to come home to the self-Reiki practice, build their understanding, their relationship with the energy. And that way, they're going to undergo changes, positive changes in their life. And those changes will be an undeniable example to their family and to others, that something positive has shifted for that person. And when asked what that is, they can say, oh, I am practicing self-Reiki each day. Isn't it wonderful? All the changes that you can notice in me from that. If there's more judgment and all of that, I would say, I would hope we remember our worth. Our light does not depend on anyone else agreeing with what we know to be true. And the need for others' approval is perhaps an invitation for some self-reflection. Because if it feels good to you and you feel it is worthwhile for yourself, isn't that enough? And so my answer is a little bit out there, maybe. Maybe not too practical in some regards. And so I'll just end with this and then I'll open it up for your response, Kathleen. And that is, I would ask people to let go of the need to convince other people. Because some people, they don't even want to be convinced. Even those who might ask you about it or accuse you of having a practice that is not of the light, even those people, some of them aren't even interested in the truth. They're just stirring the pot. So I think it's important to remember that. But Reiki is Of course, not negative at all. And when we know that to be true, the judgments of others become less important. What do you think, Kathleen?
That is absolutely true. Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you said. I know how difficult it is, as I'm sure every Reiki practitioner out there understands what it's like when you first start out. I felt like a stranger in a strange land, you know, because I just felt like I didn't really have a whole lot of people to talk to. And I think I was luckier than some because at least my family was somewhat supportive. They didn't try to banish me from the house or anything. So that was a good thing. But they didn't really get it, you know, but at least they were nice about it. And I was reluctant to share what I did with people for quite some time. I just felt uncomfortable because I was concerned about any judgment that may come my way or any criticism. I think that's typical. That's a natural reaction. We don't want people, you know, judging us because of what we do. But as time went on, I began to lose that feeling. I became more comfortable with the energy. And as you said, self-Reiki, I'm so glad you mentioned self-Reiki because that truly is the foundation. It's the gold standard for Reiki practitioners. It has so many benefits. You know, it helps to deepen your relationship with the energy. It helps you to heal yourself. It increases your intuitive capabilities. I mean, I can go on and on about the benefits, but it's so, so important to have a regular self-Reiki practice. And as time went on, those feelings of being judged or criticized began to fall away. I just didn't really mind anymore. However, I will say this, I still am kind of conservative in what I tell people about what it is, because I don't want to freak anybody out and get all spiritual on them right out of the box, especially if they don't know me or I don't know them very well. People can be turned off by that, and I respect that, and I don't want that to happen. So if they are showing a genuine interest in Reiki and what it is and how it works and what it does, I will absolutely answer that question as best I can, but I keep it fairly practical. You know, Reiki is a Japanese technique that is great for stress release, relaxation. It allows the body to heal itself over time on all the levels. I keep it pretty basic. You know, I don't get into the spiritually guided life energy thing because I feel that as soon as you introduce that element, a lot of people are going to turn away, either figuratively or literally. Yeah. And Andrea just made like a stop sign with her hand. And you're going to lose credibility. And once you've lost credibility, it's hard to get it back. So if the person is truly interested, I don't want to destroy that credibility about what my answer is. You know, I want to give them an answer that's palatable for where they are, meeting them where they are, right? Okay. So that being said, I absolutely 100% agree with what Andrea said. It's not our responsibility to convince anyone of anything. Each one of us is on our own path. We each have our own purpose, our own goals for this lifetime. And I'm talking spiritually now, of course. I have no idea of Andrea's path and what she's supposed to be doing in her lifetime. I don't know. I don't have any idea of what anyone else is supposed to be doing. I barely know what I'm supposed to be doing most of the time. So far be it from me to chime in on, well, you should be doing this. There's that word, should. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. So I feel it is definitely not my place to convince anyone of anything. What I see myself as doing and what I think my role in this is, as a Reiki practitioner, I put the word out. I will answer questions as best I can, honestly, transparently. And if they want to learn more, yay, that's great. You know, let's talk. And if they don't, that's okay too. Maybe somewhere down the line, they will. And if they don't, maybe it's just not for them in this lifetime. I don't know. And honestly, it is not for me to know. So to people who have that situation where family members or loved ones have issues with what you do, focus on yourself, Reiki, as Andrea suggested. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful suggestion. As you become more deeply involved with the energy and comfortable with it and familiar with it, these concerns are going to become less of a concern as time goes on. And as you begin to stand in your own power, you're going to realize that the judgment of others says far more about them than it does about you. So just stay in your power, continue with yourself, Reiki, and allow them to stay on their path. And hopefully they'll allow you to stay on yours without any more judgment, at least directed toward you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kathleen. That was great. Yeah. And, you know, people can read or hear from other people just about anything, right? And that doesn't make it valid at all. One thing I think of often when this comes up is, oh, well, I don't know what you're reading or who you're talking to, but that's completely different than my experience. And who can argue with that, right?
Yes, who can argue with that? No one, honestly. I think that's a great answer. You know, I like that. So hopefully some of our listeners, if they're faced with that issue, will use that reply. I think that's a wonderful reply. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, Andrea. Went through quite a few questions. Of course, there are more. We never seem to run out of questions, but that's okay. I mean, I do really appreciate, as Andrea does, hearing from our listeners with these questions. And I truly hope that our answers, our perspectives, we don't have all the answers, believe me, but our perspectives and our experience can help to clear up some of these questions that you may have. Thanks, as always, for joining in with us beyond the Reiki Gateway, and we will see you next time.
We thank you again for joining us. And of course, we invite you to join us next time as we journey beyond the Reiki Gateway with Kathleen Johnson and Andrea Kennedy.